Good point the other night, Steve. First question, I guess, is how's Chris Wood after that?
Well, he's had his scan this morning because he had it before 9 o'clock, and we're just waiting for the result of that, for the consultant to read it. But, you know, clinically, he looks a little bit better today than obviously the yesterday. So, you know, we're certainly no ruling him out of the weekend at this stage, and we're waiting the result of that prognosis, and that can tell us that it was simply a cramp in the muscle, or it can tell us there's a strain in the muscle. But, you know, clinically he's better than what he was last time. He had a little hamstring strain. He's certainly nowhere in that department, we don't think.
You treated him with kid gloves, if you like. You tried not to rush him back. Is this a concern moving forward, or?
No, I think just sometimes when you never realise the status of it, you can do all the testing we like. We, as you know, I deliberately held him back against Bristol City and only introduced him with half an hour or so to go. And he came through that fine and trained really, really well on the weekend, days afterwards, and on the Monday. So it can happen for different reasons. So we just need to let the medical side take care, and then we need to make sure that if he's back for Saturday, that it's 100%, and if he's back thereafter, that it's 100%, as much as we thought it was 100% prior to Brentford.
How do you treat the FA Cup as such? Is this a... Are you going to put all your eggs in one basket where this is concerned, and maybe take a gamble on one or two if you need to, or you look more longer term, and if he's not right 100% he won't play?
Well, it's my policy not to gamble anyway with the fitness of players. I think if it's a game or two from the end of the season, there's always an element of taking a risk. I think we're at a stage of the season where it is a no risk policy. I've never done that for a long time, so it won't be changed. If Chris is perhaps not 100% for the weekend, then he won't be involved. If he's back to the way he was on the 2 days or 3 days leading up to the Brentford game, then he'll start. So we'll have to have a look at it, you know, possibly after training tomorrow.
Alex Moore has been out. Any sign of him or when he will be back?
Yeah, he's back 100%. He's back out with the group tomorrow. He's with the medical team outside as we speak, and we'll see how he comes through that. But we're expecting him to be good now.
Okay. Transfer window, obviously, it's drawing to a close. Mr. Schlein have been reported saying there will be no more incomings, but he's kept his cards close to his chest throughout the window. Are you still anticipating more, or hoping more will come in?
Well, I heard it slightly different to you. I heard that unlikely.
Okay, good. So we'll go with that then.
If the president says there's no more signings, there will be no more signings. But the words I heard attributed to the president was it was unlikely. Okay. It was unlikely a week ago we were going to sign the boy from Brentford.
So you're still working hard behind the scenes to well, get some names forward?
Yeah, both of us are. You know, he obviously takes control of the financial situation, so he knows how far or how near we are. And when he says it's unlikely, he may feel that one or two things are slipping away from us from what we want to do. I'll have a meeting with him this afternoon, and we'll see where we go. But, you know, unlikely can be just a stage of negotiation as opposed to what actually happens.
It was said last week you had a couple of written bids in. We assume one of them was Dia Graga. Was anything happening with the other one? Is that gone now? Or?
Well, I think the president was still working on it, you know, after the game against Brentford when I spoke to him for quite some time. And most of yesterday I was involved with him. So, you know, sometimes you make a bid and it's never going to be rightfully, duly, quickly accepted. So sometimes most of the time there's a negotiation. So my understanding is we have negotiations going on in several fronts, but the president is a person who's aware of what status there are, and if he thinks that it's slipping, it would be unlikely.
I guess, is it a game of poker at the minute? You've got to hold your nerve. I'm sure there's players you'd like to bring in, but as you've always said, the deal's got to be right for the club, hasn't it?
Yeah, 100% the deal has to be right. You know, this football club can't go back to the days where the football club's family, the supporters, questioned what level the football club is going to be at because of the debts and such like. Now we're in the opposite extension. We have monies available to spend to strengthen the squad, and the president today is took my counsel in a lot of those discussions, and so I'm responsible also for making sure there's prudence around the squad and making sure we have a happy medium in the dressing room.
You've been linked with a lot of players. goes without saying. The Lafferty rumours not going away. What's the official line on that one?
I'm not aware. You know, I'm not aware of what's happening with Lafferty. I've sort of thought it's been drifting for some time now. And as I've always maintained, you know, there's There's not just Carl Lafferty in the equation for Leeds United. There's a number of strikers in the equation for Leeds United. And so we're working hard on a number of fronts. It wasn't just the boy from Brentford who tipped up here last week as the other midfield player. There was alternatives that the president was also working, but we happened to get our first choice. So I'm not 100% where they are, but you know, I'll only get further briefs, as I've told you before, when we make some inroads.
Okay. Just links with players going out. Obviously, the Bianchi, is that going to go through this week? Do we expect?
My understanding is, I think there's something very minor, I'm told, that has to just be resolved. But I'm expecting that to happen, yeah.
Sol Bamba missed the other night. Family reasons. Is he back? When you expecting him?
I think he's back in the building as we speak. So he's training with the group today.
There was speculation that he was one you'd had a bid for. What's the position with Sol?
Listen, I think we've had lots of bids for lots of players. Prior to the window and then since the window's opened, it seems to have settled down a little bit, which is good, and people are starting to accept it when the president says no, he says no. But you know, we can't stop people picking up the phone, and you know, Saul is a solid member of our squad. He's our captain, and he does that job with a real professionalism. So I'm not aware of any bids for Sol Bamba in this window, although I can't stop media speculation.
Does he? I guess he's got to be patient, Sol, because he's a member of the squad now as opposed to the first 11 at this moment, isn't he?
Well, I think he knows better than anyone. He has more chats with me than any other person in the group. I think he's probably pleased Sam Byron's gone, because it means I can spend more time with Sol now. But we talk about lots of things, and the one thing he appreciates is the form of Cooper and Bellucci. And as a centre-back, when he sees them perform like that, he knows he has to be patient and wait his turn. And when his turn comes, he has to perform. The performance is stay in. And he's capable of that because he's an outstanding centre-back.
Antonucci, is he, again, another one being linked with a move away, but he's a pivotal part of your squad at the minute, isn't he?
Well, we're not blessed with numbers of strikers that can start for us and make a difference for us. And Mirko Antonucci is one of those. I thought he was really exciting when he came on the other night. I thought from the first minute he came onto the pitch, he got a hold of the ball in a poor first half performance from us. He started to link it really well, and I think second half he's unlucky with a half chance and unlucky not to have a penalty. And so we're pleased with Mirko, but we know his situation, we know his family situation, but he has to earn something going forward rather than just be given it.
Okay, and just a word about a few people on the periphery of your squad, like say Casper Sloth, Jordan Mataka, Lee Irwin. Where do they stand at the minute? If a bid came in for one of those or a loan move came in, would you be happy to let them go?
Well, I think we just treat it on a player-by-player basis. You know, we've made it clear that some of the fringe players need to perhaps think about getting some football rather than sit about and play under-21s, which for me is about a process of learning youngsters. And for experienced players, it's just about getting game time. It's nothing else, because under-21 matches are never played as competitively anywhere near anyone's first team. So if the right opportunity comes for those three to go and get some game time, we would look at it.
And what about Calvin Phillips? Obviously you've brought another midfield player in. Does that maybe open the door for him to get some experience somewhere else short term?
No, we're keeping Calvin in the building. He's got a big future at this football club, but he's learning, and he's learning the game. And you can't expect everyone in Leeds United coming through the academy. You can't expect them to learn as quickly as the Cooks and the Mowats and the Taylors. They're quite special lads, them, and maybe we can get run away and forget that. So it's very unusual to see lads at the ages that they are just playing every week in the Championship. So they're gifted and special players. And we think Calvin can join that group, but he needs a little bit more time.
And looking, you said a couple of weeks ago, if maybe you'd have been here sooner, the Sam Byron situation might not have escalated as it did. People are worrying about Cook and Charlie Taylor and Mowat now. Their contract's starting to dwindle down. Is that a priority you've raised with the president, that you need to get them sorted out?
Yeah, I think not at this current time. It's not the time during a transfer window when people are speculating what they're doing and what they're not doing to be going and saying we're going to do X, Y, Z with them. But people are misguided if they don't think there's conversations going on with the representatives of those players. And that'll take the due course that it takes. I couldn't have made or forced Sam Byron to sign a new contract. I just felt I might have brought a little bit of sense to it from a coaching perspective earlier. And that's what my job will be, to make sure that these young players are you know, signing new contracts and etc. But going forward, as opposed to in a rush environment.
You can understand it though from a fan's point of view. It's their worst nightmare, isn't it? Two kids or three kids that they see coming up through, they see that as a future of their team. They're worried that they're going to leave. You can understand that.
Well, given the size of the bids, they would have left already, wouldn't they? At most clubs. But our president's been outstanding and kept those players. He's confided me in the offers that have come in, and I've raised my eyebrows on a number of occasions thinking, wow, these offers. But he's kept them in the group, and that's credit to him.
You've said that every player has his price. Is there a cut-off point in the window where you think, we're not going to sell anyone? Because obviously, if you've got a big bid in for one of your players, you've got a bit of turn that around and get someone in, haven't you?
I say here, not for one second sitting here, do I think that any of your exciting youngsters will leave this football club in this window.
Good stuff. On to the football now. Yep. FA Cup this weekend. See, what does the FA Cup mean to you?
From every wee laddie sitting watching it, it's a magical cup competition. And everyone wants to have the glory days and the glory nights and be part of FA Cup history and tradition. I've been fortunate, I've had a little bit of that. But when you get a little bit of it, you want a lot of it. Going across to Bolton will be tough. You know, they've had their best performance in probably three seasons last weekend against MK Dons. And Neil will be confident they're at home. And you know, but we're taking an unbelievable, that's the word, unbelievable support with us. We want to go there and we want to make sure we're in the draw on Monday.
It sounds like Leeds are going to have more fans there than Bolton. I mean, it must excite the players when they walk out in front of an atmosphere like that.
I think it won't be the first club that's happened to, and it won't be the last. I think the fan base here and the way they turn up and the sweat blood for the team is it's relentless, the support. It's fantastic to see them. And I just want to make sure that we go there and produce a performance that when our supporters leave the stadium, they're proud of that performance.
I think everyone's written Bolton off in terms of the Championship, assuming they're going to lose points, etc. But they're on the pitch, they're still there, aren't they? And a couple of wins away from safety.
Yeah, I think Neil's done a great job. I think he's been under difficult circumstances since he walked in. From a distance, it looks as if, you know, he was promised a number of things that have just simply never been delivered. He won't say that, I can say it. But, you know, we know it's going to be a tough game. You've got two fiery managers that passionately want to win and two managers that have a lot of respect for each other. I have total admiration for him. You know, he was the manager that led his team, my favourite team in the world, to beating Barcelona. So it shows you what we'd be up against. But we can go there and be in the next round of the Cup if we play anywhere near that where we can play.
Do you change anything from your squad? Are you going to make wholesale changes or are you going as strong as you can?
Oh, we have to be as strong as we can. I think if we went down a player or two, we'd go at the Cup. I think we can't forget that Bolton Wanderers have drawn a lot of games this season. That's why they're in the situation. And they've drawn a lot of games when perhaps they're in good winning positions. And when you see them play as well as they played last week, and all the staff have looked at the performance of Bolton, it was quite exceptional. It was like watching a top of the table Championship side against MK Dons. So they'll feel that they're getting that right, but we know what we're capable of when we get it right. So it's got the hallmarks of an exciting FA Cup tie.
You want a fast start this time? It took until half time, didn't it, really, when you went to the Macron earlier in the season?
Well, we've had too many games, isn't it, where it's either been a 45 or a 60 minute performance and not a 90. Good players and better players will help the group bring that consistency, and consistency needs to be, you know, a 95, 96 minute performance. And, you know, if you look at the top teams in this league, normally when they're on their game, they dominate from start to finish.
And you've always, you know, you always said you want to pit yourself against one of the bigger clubs, get them down at Elland Road and see what Leeds are made of. When you get into the fifth round, you're getting closer, aren't you, to, you know, maybe go to Wembley in a semi-final. Do you then start to think, well, actually, we'd rather get someone that we feel we can beat?
Yeah, listen, I would rather beat Elland Road against whoever we play. I don't know what constitutes a big club for us to play. I genuinely don't know. If we play top four or five in the Premier League, who's the biggest?
I don't know, really. I think the Leeds fans would turn out in force, whoever, wouldn't they?
Well, I think there would be an argument. If you're just talking the size of the football club and the history of the football club, we would have a strong argument, probably with the exception of, you know, two or three clubs. And so I think there's a lot in the Premier League wouldn't like to be going to Elland Road.